Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline.
Ray, does any team scare you if you're a quality team right now, like a Tampa Bay? I mean, you got to
They would be the closest. I mean,
Nashville, Winnipeg, but...
Yeah. I mean, but once you get past three or four and you go, okay, they're better than everybody else, how much better are they? Like, are they a player better? Are they... You know, no team with the cap can have anything anymore.
No.
And so even, remember when Pitt won the Cups back-to-back, during the regular season, it's not like you were looking at them most times and going, oh, you can never beat them. It's the same as always. You go, wow, Crosby, Malkin, and it's a really good team. But, you know, they were somewhat human. Then they got to the playoffs and, you know, and put it all together. Same with Wash last year. I mean, they didn't threaten anybody. In the regular season, they quietly went about their business, got to the playoffs, and became something else. But I don't think right now anybody stands out from the crowd so greatly that you go, wow, that team's a lock in the Eastern or Western Conference final.
No, I think Tampa and Nashville deserve to be the number one seeds in both conference.
Yeah.
You know, those two have been the most complete, most well-balanced teams so far, and that's not a surprise. I think most people had those teams as the best team in each respective conference. But we were looking ahead to the game in Boston on Saturday night, and I used the Raptors-LeBron James analogy. Now, there isn't as much recent history with the Leafs and Bruins in the playoffs as there were with the Raptors and LeBron. But even if the Raps beat LeBron in the regular season, which didn't happen much, Raps fans would be like, all right, that was great. Let's see what you got in April and May. And I kind of sense the same thing is going to happen on Saturday. Even if the Leafs go in and beat Boston, I expect these two teams to meet in the first round. I think that's going to end up happening. So, great. You
but
won
look, at
in
the questions that, look at the questions Boston has on their team right now, though. You know, they've got a real quagmire starting in goal. Because Jaro Halak has clearly outplayed Rask by quite some margin. And so how, you know, they're trying to figure that out. They haven't had Charlie McAvoy. This has been 3 weeks pretty much that he's not in the lineup. And their team's nowhere near the same team when he's not lugging around 23 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Their second line with Krejci is a question mark. Jake DeBrusk has been just okay. And the other guys that they thought were hoping going to be, or were hoping were going to be there, like Bjork, Donato's back in the American League. They've not grabbed on to a regular spot. They're a one-line team really right now. So, you know, it's not really as much as we talk about the Leafs and, you know, they put wins together but haven't been super duper impressive. I would say Boston sure hasn't either.
Well, is there another team in that division that you think is legitimately scaring these top three teams in the Atlantic? Is it Montreal?
No.
Is it Buffalo? Who would it be?
Well, I mean, they would be the closest, but I don't think... I mean, I can't put those teams in the same class as Toronto, Boston, and Tampa. I can't do that. But
no, I mean,
Montreal and Buffalo are next, for
other
sure.
Other than Tampa, who scares you in the East? Like, if you're the West, you're thinking, well, we got to do it this year.
I'll be honest, though, like... I wouldn't sleep on Washington again. Like, that's a team that, again, just meandered their way through the league. Like, they're a hell of a team. Like, they win the cup for a reason. But, you know, even watching that game last night, like, I know Pittsburgh is on a downswing right now, but they still can get it done with what they have. But Washington is, the way they're constructed, they're a pretty good team, and they got a lot of skill up front. And, you know, if Tom Wilson's out, I know he's, people either have your opinion about him or not as a player, but he's a really good player and he's very effective and he's hard to play against. Like, that's a team I think you can't sleep on. Like, if you're the Leafs in Tampa and Boston, you know that you're very good teams, but I still would just maybe creature of habit, but not giving up the fact that I still think Washington is dangerous. I think Pittsburgh, if they get it together, are dangerous. Columbus is struggled, but they're, you know, they're still a team that kind of, if Bobrovsky actually gets it together because he's had a rough go, they're a team that could all of a sudden surprise somebody too.
Yeah, but just think, Noodles, Columbus might hold the balance of power in their hands, and that's, what are they going to do with Bobrovsky and Panarin as they get into the new year?
Yeah, we may not be even worried about them if they have to move those two players.
And if somebody can acquire one of those guys, I mean, that could be a game changer for whichever team acquires them. I mean, they're fantastic players.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, O's probably set there with the West is more of a murderer's row to get out of, for sure. Yeah. Like, yeah, there's going to be a couple of really good teams that are just going to, they're going to die on the vine quick in the playoffs, that's for sure.
If I'm Florida, I'm calling Columbus. I don't know if you're aware of this, Ray, but the Russian players, or Russians in general, there's a high Russian population in Florida. I'm going all in on both of them. What do you want for both of them? Bobby Lou's going to retire, I think.
Well, at some point, like, but he's on the downswing as far as age and everything. But yeah, you're right. Like,
are you saying this season?
Like, I don't know, but I'm curious about both. Like, I don't know if it's the Suter Parise deal where you bring in both guys, but I'm thinking they need a scoring winger, they need a goaltender in the future. I would be all in on both guys.
Well, as far as a trade, I can't even imagine what that would look like.
Yeah, you're probably just waiting until the UFAs and say, you know what, I'm going to offer you the most. But I'm all in on both.
Well, UFA. Columbus would ask for Barkov for Panarin. That's probably what it would. I know you hang up the phone, but I'm just saying that's the type of.
Yeah, Florida's not in a position to do it right now because of the start.
Well, do they get to July? Do they?
Yeah.
Are they in a position to do it then either? What are they going to give them, coconut shells?
Yeah.
You gotta pay him.
Yeah.
You know, like just so what would those contracts look like?
Well, it's so difficult to get a read on contract talk. Like, that seems to be...
Well, it's the topic du jour right now, every day here.
Every day in Toronto. Right. And I think a lot of that is because of Nylander.
What would so-and-so's contract look like? It's getting ridiculous.
Is this the big week, O? Is this the big week?
No, next week, bud.
Oh, after next week.
Tomorrow's Friday, so Monday is going to be a very big week. Like the biggest week in the negotiations.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Because every week is. It just moves from one week to the next.
It's actually been so quiet. Like, there has not been anything on Nylander.
Okay, Sunday at 2 p.m. will be an announcement.
I hope you're right.
It'll be. That's how the Leafs have worked.
Yeah.
I know it was under Lou, but you still... Wasn't Anderson trade like a Sunday...
I don't even care anymore. Like, I like the player. I like if he was playing, but I'm so sick of it. Like, I could care less to even... I don't care anymore.
Well...
I just want it over with. I mean, it's...
Because he's out there, there's just so much conversation about everything. You know, and Mitch Marner, because he's off to the start, he's having... Everyone's discussing what Marner's going to get paid. And, you know, he's going to get paid a lot of money, but... He's not going to set a new bar. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I think Bobby Mack said it best the other day. Kucherov
got 9.5. Kucherov.
So what? All of a sudden, Mitch Marner now is better than Kucherov and is going to get 10?
No.
Like, give your
no.
Your
it can't happen.
Ass.
Like, that's the thing. Even if you can make a case that he deserves it, it can't happen. The Leafs cannot allow it to happen. That's why, as we get closer to this deadline with Nylander, I'm not convinced they have to move him. Like, I think there's value in the Leafs saying, all right, stay at home. Like, fine. because you can't look weak. You can't. You've got to send a message to these guys that just because they've had a good couple of years, they haven't won a thing.
No.
They haven't won anything. They've been in the league for 2 years.
But I think these modern-day players, Brian, they don't even consider team success.
But why that's not true because other players are signing their deals.
All they care about is... 20 goals, 60 points, 20 goals, 60 points, and then there's like this thing they deal with projection, like this is going to be my projection year where the next year after that, that's what I'm really going to be. Do you ever hear people talk about wins, losses, cups? It's just individuals. That's all they care about.
Well, except what is any, when you say about cups or wins or like, hell, there's a million stats now. Nobody cares how many wins a goalie has.
Yeah, Ray, the only time cups come into play is if you've won them. Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane went to Chicago and said, we got you 3 cups. What are you going to pay for that? And they gave him $10.5 million
a
year.
That don't. Yeah, but if a lot you don't of people ha- don't have it.
Yeah, right? And if you don't have it, it's not a factor.
So I'm looking at, you know, Brian, you say, like, if Nylander's not signed and the value of holding on to him, well, the Leafs still have to get by July 1st. Of next year. And is there a possibility that if he's not signed, what Nylander becomes is a fabulous insurance policy. If somebody kabongs him with one of these unicorn offer sheets, then you still have Nylander to deal with. But he would be a security blanket. Like, what if somebody short-term max deals out one of those guys? Like, just Matthews pays him off the board. You know, whatever 20% of the cap is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what are they going to do?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean...
But I mean, like, you can't not make them offer sheet. And I still, no, other than, oh, yeah, they're all a bunch of buddies, I still don't quite get why management wouldn't offer sheet players. Because if I'm an owner and I paid, you know, $500 million for a team, I'd probably like to win as opposed to having a lot of friends. Guys that I don't even really know.
I agree with you, but it's not as if the Leafs are the only ones with RFAs. Like, Mikko Rantanen's an RFA at
Patrick
the end of the year.
Laine.
Patrick Laine is an RFA at the end of the year. So,
but that's my point. Why are these guys immune? I don't get it. It makes no sense. And Toronto's in a precarious spot. Winnipeg's in a tough spot, too, because they've got a boatload of young guys that are rolling in here. The difference is, are they really good players or are they difference makers?
Right.
You know, and when I say difference makers, I mean like the very top of the lineup players. Like Rantanen is going to get paid.
Yeah.
There's not many guys like him. Like that size, that good. It appears as if Marner is really a special player. It appears like Matthews is a special player. Like different than being a really good player.
But that's Ray. That's where I'll jump in here. That's where William Nylander has to understand that, like, and I'll just tie it to, for example, Winnipeg. Nikolaj Ehlers is a really good player, but yeah. He's not the special player. He's not in that mode. He's a part of the core. He's a, you know, I think Ehlers can get to 70 points, 75 points.
I think he has a goal this year, does he?
He's got a couple, just recently.
Yeah, just recently. But, like, my point being is that where does Nylander fit when it comes to that, like that verbiage? Because I think Nylander's just a really good player. I don't see him special.
Yes.
I think he's a very good player. And so is Ehlers. And so is, you know, like, I think Pastrnak is, when people talk about Pastrnak, I think Pastrnak is on that cusp of special player. Like, he's right there. Like, he's close. Maybe a layer.
No, I think he's a star. I think he's in the, for me, Jamie, he's in the very top.
He's in this small percentage then. So we've put him in to where, okay, so he's right there. And he's on a value contract now for what he's being paid. Now, that was a couple of years ago, and you can't always just tie a line to it, but you have to just understand where you really fall in the pecking order of not only your own team, but throughout the league. Like, I think that's where probably Kyle Dubas and his management group are going, okay, we know where you are, absolutely,
and the same thing with Marner. Like, let's say Marner, this idea that he gets 10.5 or 11, he's not going to score 120 points and win the Hart this year. So,
well, who came up with that number?
Well, it was on the lunch today. Dregs was saying he thinks he's going to get 10 or 10.5. I don't remember how Dregs phrased it, but he's thrown out. Yeah, and it's,
that's a bit rich.
I think it, and you're telling me if you go to Marner and say, let's say it doesn't have to be an 8-year deal. Here's a 6-year deal at $8 million a year, 8.5. He's going to turn that down.
What did Drysdale get? 8.5 at
Drysdale got 8.5.
8.5 at eight.
At eight.
Yeah.
Yes. So let's say, because it doesn't have to be an 8-year deal, but let's say it's a 6-year deal, then you're back up at 28. You know, like it doesn't make any sense. The idea that all this money is going to be spent.
This Nylander thing, I've just, you know, like, oh, you know, early saying, like, just sick of it. And what I don't get is, after all this time, like, does he really think he's an $8 million player? Like, if that's the number, then, and I'm all for the player getting as much as he can, always. But that's crazy. Like, that's not even in the ballpark for me. That the thing starts, like, the thing is a 6. I don't know how it could be any different than that.
No.
He's not David Pastrnak. He's not.
No, he's not Johnny Gaudreau. He's not, you know, there's a lot of these guys who are in the 6s.
I don't even think he's close to Pastrnak. Like, he's not even, like, he's nowhere close to being that good.
And so, I see why Toronto's dug right in here, because not only, yes, they got to make the decision for the implications going forward, but also because I kind of think they're, without knowing exactly what they're offering, I think they're kind of in a more realistic ballpark than where he is.
Well, I agree, but at this point, it doesn't really matter because neither side is willing to buckle, you know, and I guess we'll find out in the next few weeks. The clock is ticking.
And we'll get to talk about it tomorrow somehow.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll keep
coming up. Brought it up every day.
I mean, know that.
Well, because it's unfortunate, but
it's a
true.
Big story that you just can't avoid. And because the Nylander contract negotiation is still ongoing, everything else gets dragged back to that with other players and all that kind of stuff. We were talking about the Pens earlier and the Malkin hit on TJ Oshie. If you missed it last night, Washington won that game 2-1, but Malkin was coming across the offensive blue line and he dished the puck off and then he kind of gave Oshie, I guess, a bit of a shoulder shimmy.
Kind of the reverse shoulder, right? Like, didn't Forsberg do that a lot, Ray? I saw you on Twitter and I...
He got me noodles. Somebody asked me, is this the hit you're referring to? I'd never seen that play before. And it was by the door that we used to come out on, you know, in the corner.
Yeah.
And I went to close on him, and he reversed and knocked me. My feet went straight out. Like, he just flattened me. And I was like, how is that not interference? I don't have the puck. And I still don't get it. Now, the Malkin play was different to me last night than that. The reverse thing, I still don't get. Nobody's really come up with an explanation to me. You're not. There's a difference between protecting the puck and just flattening the guy that doesn't have it, that's coming to check you.
Yeah.
But I don't think there was anything there for the Malkin play last night.
No, I don't think he should be suspended.
If his name was Tom Wilson, though, he'd be...
Probably.
Probably
would be.
And the way that Oshie went flying, like it... He flew back.
He was following the puck. He was not going to hit Malkin. If you look at the angle,
kind of leaning into it.
Like, I think Malkin was dishing, and he was trying to change position to go and track the puck. But here's another guy who pulled off that hit, and it wasn't Peter Forsberg. It was TJ Oshie in the Cup Final against Colin Miller last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Literally the exact same play.
But that one broke his nose. Yeah.
But it was celebrated. I remember being in here arguing with people and being like, "That, how is that legal?" And it was celebrated as what a brilliant play, and you were bracing for contact. I thought that was a greasy play, and it should have been interference, and the goal shouldn't have counted. Because if you look back on that tape on Miller, he wasn't going to hit him. He was like 2 feet away from him, and Oshie went out of his way to lay him out. And that was in the Cup Final.
Yeah, that's right.
So I actually appreciate that Oshie, after the game, he was asked, what do you think should happen to Malkin? And he knew, I can't say anything.
Yeah.
Because he did the exact same thing in the Cup Final.
Yeah.
And he broke his nose.
I didn't see, like, for me last night, I don't see any supplemental discipline there at all. I thought Malkin braced, and Malkin's a horse. He ran into a wall. Like, Malkin is, what does he weigh, Ray? Is he 210, 215? All of that, no?
He's huge.
He's a beast, and Oshie is, too.
Yeah, like, they're big.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that bad timing for him to make that play, Oshie, when it's the biggest guy on the ice, and his shoulder lands right in your face. I don't think that was, like, there's nothing there for Malkin. In my mind, that the play you're talking about, Brian, in the final, and, you know, the Forsberg reverse, to me, that's interference, but it never gets called, like, never ever, and so it seems like, you know, that's just the way that's going to be.
All right, Ray, we'll do it again tomorrow. Where are you at? You're in Ottawa tonight, or?
I'm in Ottawa. We finally just punched through the traffic. I think we will get to the rink here eventually, and back for the game tomorrow night.
All right, buddy, we'll tee it up tomorrow.
Talk to you then.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.